The sixth source of our Unitarian Universalist living tradition is the earth-centered traditions, and that's the most recent of the six sources that we've explicitly named as you use. And part of the wisdom that we draw from that sixth source is the importance of what some people call seven-generation thinking, considering the impact of our actions even to the seventh generation to follow. Or as I've sometimes heard this perspective phrased, seeing yourself as the midpoint of a seven-generation span, such that ethical decision-making should try to honor the wisdom of those three generations on this side of the bridge that preceded you, back to your great-grandparents, and then to consider the legacy that you'll leave one day for the three generations that will follow you, to the generations that would be your great-grandchildren. And our annual transition service is an ideal time to consider the ripples that flow from generation to generation. In particular, this morning is a time for honoring our high school graduates, and one of the tools I've found most helpful in shifting my perspective each year to keep current with each succeeding crop of graduates, since they're always around 18 and we all keep getting older, is the mindset list. How many of you have seen the mindset list? It's put out by Beloit College. It's helpful. You can Google it. It's written to help professors try to avoid dated references that these new 18-year-olds have no idea what they're talking about. The most recent mindset list includes 60 cultural touchstones. It's put out every August, so this is actually for this current year of college freshmen. But I'll share only a few of them for this morning. For current college freshmen, keep in mind that Eminem and LL Cool J, once youth icons, would now be more likely to show up at Parents' Weekend. GM means genetically modified, not General Motors. As kids, they may well have seen Chicken Run, but they probably never got the chicken pox. You can all tell me if any of this is wrong, and we'll email Beloit. Having a chat has seldom involved talking. Gaga has never been baby talk. They've only known two presidents, George W. Bush and Barack Obama. Threatening to shut down the government during federal budget negotiations has always been, for them, an anticipated tactic. With GPS, they've never needed directions to get someplace, just an address. They've never attended a concert in a smoke-filled arena. Their favorite feature films have always been largely, if not totally, computer-generated, and their parents' car CD player is so ancient and embarrassing. For myself, at age 36, I'm about twice as old as these 18-year-old college graduates. So what does that mean for some of the rest of you, right? Generationally, I'm part of it. Take it up with me afterwards, people. It's generational thinking. So generationally, what I want you to think about is that I'm part of the tail end of Gen X, having been born in 78. That's the year after Star Wars came out, right? But Ben, Glenn, and Will, our high school graduates, they were born around 1996, so they make me feel old. They're solidly in the middle of Generation Y, also known as the millennial generation. But Glenn, Ben, and Will, don't get too cocky about your youth, because this child dedication that we did, they're Gen Z, and they're coming for you. They're the first generation that we just child dedicated. They're the first generation that will be fully digital natives, growing up never knowing a world without smartphones and tablets. The rest of us, even our young high school graduates, are digital immigrants to that sort of technology. But Gen Z will never know a print edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, only Wikipedia. Gen Z will also never know a world in which only white men can be president. Sometimes progress is good. And it's important for us to take a step back sometimes and reflect on how a seven-generation perspective, even if it makes us feel old, that can help inform our understanding of ourselves, of the coming generations, and of Unitarian Universalism as a living tradition, as a movement, and where it's going, especially as leadership roles begin to be filled by millennials and eventually those digital natives of Gen Z and beyond. The merger of the American Unitarian Association and the Universalist Church of America into Unitarian Universalism happened in 1961, and in many ways, the predominant UUism that most of us have grown up knowing, if you've been a UU for a while, is heavily influenced, for better or worse, by baby boomers, who came of age in the 60s and 70s, the youthful hope of landing on the moon and Kennedy. And perhaps significantly, some demographers see millennials as what's called the echo boom, because many of them are children of boomer parents. Worldwide, there are 1.7 billion millennials. 1.7 billion millennials. Almost a third of the people on Earth are part of the millennial generation. So it's fascinating to watch the evolution from boomer UUism to Gen X and to millennial-influenced UUism and beyond. For most millennials, the defining event of their early lives was the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. And as a generation deeply shaped by social media, they've also grown up knowing both the promise and the perils of our increasingly globalized and interdependent world. One piece of advice I would offer our graduates is not only to leverage technology to stay connected and to create social change, but also to find times and places where you can embrace the luxury of unplugging from technology, to be fully present to the world without a filter of technology and worried about what you're going to post on social media later. But speaking of creating social change, I'll move toward my conclusion by quoting State Representative Boyd Brown. He's a millennial elected to the State House in my not known for its progressive nature home state of South Carolina. And from the floor of the State House, Boyd Brown, this millennial, said, "My generation acknowledges science. We want to protect the planet. My generation doesn't hate gay people. We don't hate any people. My generation does not fear the future. We welcome change. And ladies and gentlemen, as a word of caution, my generation is sprinting this way." Ben, Glenn, and Will, we've been honored and privileged to accompany you up to this point on your spiritual journey through this life. We, the three-plus generations that have preceded you, have sought to create here a liberal religious community that would nurture you in the best sense of that word, liberal. Open to new ideas, generous, open-handed, open-hearted, open-minded. As you go into the world, we charge you to live out those values. Freedom, reason, tolerance, standing on the side of love, building the beloved community. We hope you will pass these values on to the generations to follow, and we look forward to seeing all that you will do with your lives. Our heart goes with you.
So a few weeks ago, we had our youth service, and I was asked to do something for the bridging ceremony. So I decided to play a song from that service that really hit me as something that this community really means to me. "Lean on Me" by Bill Withers. The song becomes so much more if you just listen and think about what the lyrics are saying. This community is just filled with people who embody what the song really means. I'm not much for long speeches, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. If you want to sing along, it's in the Green Book. On page 1021. This is for you guys, and also anyone else who needs someone to lean on.
The transformation that I've gone through since middle school, when I started coming to this congregation, has been tremendous. I used to sit in class and daydream about horrible scenarios that could happen and how great it would be to prove myself. I thought that if maybe I somehow incapacitated the terrorists who had burst into my science class, my classmates might notice me. But I soon learned that it didn't work like that. I'd have to make friends the old-fashioned way. But all I could see in the hallways were the popular kids taking charge of the entire school. I felt intimidated, helpless, and lonely. I wasn't on the basketball team, and I didn't like making fun of other people, so there was nothing for me there. The DMV and North Korea are the only two places that come to mind right now that I'd like to be less than middle school. It took me all 3 years to realize something super important, that I didn't have to let myself be defined as my peers, or Hollywood, or their expectations of me. With that revelation, going into high school, I began to see my own self-worth. And shortly afterwards, others started seeing it too. This year, I was voted homecoming king. 2 years running. Which might not mean a lot on job applications, but, you know, for me, it's pretty cool. Through the principles of Unitarian Universalism, I was able to see the inherent worth and dignity of everyone and treat them accordingly. I didn't compromise my values, and I made sure everyone had the chance to exist in peace and prosperity. I learned the value of compliments. I learned how to make someone's day. It's weird how in high school I still have to ask to go to the bathroom and get a hall pass, but when I come home, I fill out tax forms and change the oil in my car. During this awkward stage of my life, this congregation has been my vacation, where I can sit in one of those red chairs and soak in the sunlight and the wisdom provided by this sacred space. I used to think that I didn't need spirituality in my life. Then I discovered this religion. I can be self-sustaining when I need to be, but this congregation gives me that option of solace, and I am eternally grateful for that. I'm lucky my family loves me enough to take me here. My family is the inspiration for most of my actions, and the reason for that is that they've been evolving as I've grown up. In the past few years, I've gained 3 new siblings in addition to the 3 I already had. I've had brothers before, I've had a sister before, but the oldest of them is just now entering middle school age as I'm making the transition into adulthood. I'm the one who's been driving them around, taking care of them in ways that a parent or guardian might, and I think it's been a really good experience for me. There's a difference between taking care of younger siblings and taking care of kids who depend on you and see you as an authority figure instead of an equal. Having that relationship has really given me some insight into how I think the transition will look coming up in the next few years. Growing up is scary. The real world is scary. But my faith and my community make it easier. This atypical community means much more to me than just a list of the members of this congregation. It's far more than the church directory. It's a web of connectivity that I've found myself endearingly tangled up in. It's not just the people. It's the relationships, the lessons, the friendships, the debates, the love, and the support. The knowledge that even if I flunk my calculus test, this web will still catch me every Sunday I need it to. I don't come here every week. Honestly, it's about once a month. But I know that I will be unconditionally accepted and welcomed, regardless of whatever else is going on outside these safe walls. My experiences with this church have been nothing but positive, but I was pleased to find out that it's not a fluke. I was able to visit New York City as a leader of all the youth and a representative of our congregation 3 times at the annual United Nations Spring Seminar, and in doing so, I was able to interact with members of all ages from congregations throughout all of North America. I'm not unrealistic to where I can't see that not every person I've come across in my life is holy and universally good in a conventional sense, but there seems to be a much higher concentration of remarkably selfless, compassionate, and wonderful people within the UU faith. And as I leave this sanctuary and enter quasi-adulthood, I'm faced with the dilemma of choice. Do I continue with this religion or not? There's little space in a college schedule for spirituality, but there's still going to be the same amount of weekends. Thank you all for doing so much for me. I'll be back.